Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your people who are gathered together this morning to study your word. And we do ask you, Lord, just to speak to our hearts today. And Lord, a lot of folks in our class, in our church, who are hurting today, gone through difficult times. And we pray that you would just comfort their hearts, help us as a class and as a church to minister to them as we should. And Lord, just pray for those going through difficult times now, and they've been prayed for in the groups. And Lord, pray you'd minister in each heart and life, each home. And then Lord, ask you to bless as we look at your word this morning. Do speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. This week has been an unusual week here at the church. As most of you know, we had three of our long-term members, folks been coming to church here for years and years, very active in our church. Three of them passed away this week. Betty Cash passed away Monday. Then Ted Cole, Karen's dad, and Mariana or Melina's dad, and then Edith Lawson passed away this week. Also, we've had all those funerals this week. Tom Cole had a niece who was in her 20s that passed away this week after struggling with some problem with diabetes and things. John Green's mother passed away this week. I mentioned Letitia's mom passed away a couple weeks ago. Many of you know about Nathan Forn and their situation in Brazil. And here they have labored for years, 5 or 6 years to get to Brazil. They are finally there. And just seems like trouble after trouble after trouble. Rebecca, his wife, fell and tore her rotator cuff and some other things and struggling there. Their son, Caleb, has tumors on his ears that are destroying the bones in his ears, and they had surgery to remove one of them. Could not get the whole tumor because of where it was. They're hoping it will die out on its own. They'll have to have another surgery to go back and to repair that. And then they'll do the other ear. And then their younger, I guess, Daniel has got some kind of, they're thinking, lifelong disease that he's going to have to deal with his whole life. I look around the room and I see problems and folks. I know many of you have difficulties and problems. And I suppose if we started with Mike, although our problems are varying, all of us are dealing with problems. I was on the phone yesterday with my brother trying to decide steps to take in selling the house and whether we should take an offer that's been given and taking care of my dad and all these decisions. And everybody's got problems. Now, they vary in difficulty. We know that. But my question for you this morning, and I want you just to stop this morning, and I don't want you to do this too long because you'll get discouraged, but think about the problems in your life just for a moment, okay? Now, my question for you today is there help when we have problems in life? We talk about all these people and all these situations that they're going through. Is there help? What do you do when the world around you is collapsing? And some of you have been there. Some of you may be there now. Is there a source of help? And I've had you turn to Psalm 121 this morning. Just going to leave 1 Thessalonians for 1 week because I just want to take some time and just try to be a help to you and help you to focus on the source of help. And the great news is, no matter what's going on in your life, there is a source of help that is sufficient for your need. It is sufficient for your need. And so what I want to do this morning is something we don't probably ever do. We're going to read the psalm together. We're all going to stand in a moment. We're going to read Psalm 121 out loud together. Can we handle that? All right, let's stand. Here we go. Everybody standing? Psalm 121. Here we go. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning, I want to see three ways that God can help you. Three ways, very specifically, that God can help you. In verse 1 and 2, we see that God is the source of our provision. God is the source of our provision. Notice verse 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now your question at that point is, where does your help come from? And in verse 2, he says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So our provision for help, number one, the source of our help. It is not a humanistic help. I'm not here this morning with a self-help course. I'm not here to say, now, Mark Prillhart, if you would just talk yourself into this. I mean, you have the ability to solve all of your problems if you would just get your act together. That's just not the case, folks. It's not the case. Every one of us is limited in what we can do. In fact, in Psalm 60, verse 11, it says, vain or empty is the help of man. Now, all throughout my life, I have had people who have been a great help to me. But the simple matter of fact is, there is a point where people's help stops. They can only go so far. They can only help you so much. And I am delighted. Now, I thank the Lord for those people who helped me in life. But I am delighted that we read this psalm and he says, my help cometh from where? The Lord. The Lord. There is the source of help. Now, it's interesting. This is what is called a pilgrim psalm. It's a traveling psalm. The way some of you drive, you need to memorize this psalm. No, I'm just kidding. He says, look, when I need help, I realize that my source of help is the Lord. He is Jehovah God, the all-sufficient one, the self-existent one. That's our source of help. And notice, we see the source, but notice the strength of our help. Look at this. Our help, what did he do in verse 2? He made the heavens and the earth. Now, just stop and think about that. This week, the last couple weeks, actually, we traveled back and forth to Greenville, South Carolina a couple times. My dad traveled with me once, and I said, boy, these mountains are beautiful. He said, oh, these aren't mountains. We were out west a long time, and when he thinks of mountain, he thinks of, the Colorado Rockies or something like that. These are just little humps in the road out here, you know. But, you know, just look around you in creation. I was born in Eureka, California, which is very near the Redwoods. How many of you ever been to the Redwoods and seen them? Oh, it's incredible. Just incredible. They just go up and up and up and up. And there's a redwood tree that's so large, they cut a tunnel through it, and you can drive your car through this redwood tree. Now, folks, that's a tree. I mean, but you think about that. Think about the flowers that God created. My wife has wanted some hydrangeas for years, and we had some years ago, and somebody trimmed them at the wrong time, and they died. I'm not telling you who did it, but some people have a green thumb. I have a black thumb. I can kill anything. It's incredible. So this we got this hydrangea, and you couldn't tell what color it's in. It's this beautiful purplish blue color, and she's every time we go out on our patio in the back, oh, I'm so excited about my hydrangea. Think about the minute, incredible detail of the flowers. God created all of that. I mean, everything you see around you, folks, God created it. All the animals. Now, here's the amazing thing. How did God do it? He spoke. And it was done. Now, that's power. Wouldn't you ladies like to have that? House, be clean. Everything's in place. Oh. We need some marital counseling, I think. I mean, wouldn't it be great? I'm always working on some kind of project, and it would just be great to sit in my recliner and say, project be done, and just see all this wood just be cut out and sanded and be flying together and be stained and polyurethane and hung up where it's supposed to be. Wouldn't that be just, well, that's how God did it, folks. I mean, that's the power. Now look, you say, Seaman, so what? Because he's our helper. Now let me ask you a question. If your helper has the power to speak the worlds into existence, do you think he has the power to help you with your need? Oh, and by the way, in Colossians 1, not only does it say he created it, what else did he do? It says he sustains it. He holds it all together. That's power. Now look, that's your helper. Remember those problems you were thinking about at the beginning of class? Do you think God has the power to solve those problems? Undoubtedly. I was praying this morning and saying, Lord, help our family to know what to do. Dad really should not be driving. That's a tough one. He really should not be working with wood anymore. My dad has some Parkinson's in his left hand, or maybe it's right. And I was working yesterday with the router and my router table, routing out some small pieces of wood, and I thought, you know, one little slip and you lose a finger. And I'm thinking, Dad shouldn't be doing this. But that's what he loves. He shouldn't be driving, but if he doesn't drive, he's stuck in the house. What do we do? And those problems are small compared to many you folks are going through. Look, I want to remind you folks that the source of our help is Jehovah God, a God who can do anything. Psalm 115:3 says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done, now listen, if your brain's been off, turn it on. He hath done whatever he pleased. Now what can God do? He can do whatever he wants to do. Now, I look around this room, and I see people that have problems, many of which I know about. And I want to remind you that our God is able. My granddaughter, it's one of the songs I was going to say sing. It's not really singing. It's kind of shouting and then her mind goes elsewhere and she does something else. Then she comes right back to the song, right where she left off, which is amazing, and sings, he's able, he's able, I know. What a great truth for a child to learn that God is able. Now look, when you need provision, our source of help is an infinite, all-powerful, almighty God. Now some of you are sitting there looking at me like, hallelujah, folks, that ought to excite your soul. The source of our help, lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Wow, what a source of help when we need provision. Secondly, he is our source of protection, verse 3 through 6. Let me reread those verses. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Look, he's saying, God is a God who can protect you. He is able to protect your every step. I mentioned the Colorado Rockies every year. My mother-in-law has a condo up in Vail. And every year in October, we try to fly out there and spend a week with her up there. And several years, it's been snowing as we go over Vail Pass. And you get up there 7, 8, 9, 10,000 feet, and you look down, you know. And if you drive off the road, you are in big trouble. Well, I guess you're not in trouble. You're going to heaven at that point. And I mean, it's just scary. And these crazy trucks are flying by. I mean, it's a really exciting time. You know, there are all kinds of perils in life. We struggle with slipping physically. Years ago, I remember it was, I think in December, I was shooting baskets at our house, and we had, you know, the old backboard on top of the roof kind of thing on the garage, and I guess I must have been a terrible shot because the ball got stuck on the roof. So I got out an extension ladder, and you know, like every boy should do, and I started climbing up, and about two-thirds of the way up, the ladder went, shoo, and it slid out from underneath me, and that's when I broke one of my wrists. And I looked at it, and my dad said, well, you dummy. He didn't say you dummy, but you set it on black ice. I mean, you know, that's not too brilliant, you know. You know, physically, we have a tendency to slip. But what about spiritually? I like what the songwriter says, prone to what? Wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. I tell you, folks, we face dangers physically and spiritually, and we have a God who is able to protect us and to provide for us and meet our needs. What a great truth. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to talk about God's protection here. A couple weeks ago, or actually maybe last week, I was coming back to church after lunch, and, you know, there's all kinds of construction going on, and I enjoy watching the construction. You know, I just like to see what they're doing. I mean, we came in the other day, and Pastor and I, and they were drilling holes in the cement to put the rebar in, and they had this awesome machine. And we're sitting there for like a minute, and in that minute, they had drilled three holes, and I'm thinking about my drill and my hammer drill, and I'm thinking, that is awesome. What a machine. I need one of those, you know. And so I was coming back from lunch, and you can imagine what I was doing. I was looking over here. They were pouring cement over here. They were putting asphalt down here, and I'm driving rail along, and all of a sudden, this idiot pulls out right in front of me. I mean, he was coming off the interstate, pulled out right in front of me. I slammed on my brakes. My car does have anti-lock brakes. I had never experienced that before, but I have now. And I missed the guy, hallelujah, and he drove on, and he kind of looked around, and I looked around, and there were no unfriendliness or anything. Nothing was said, nothing was done, you know. And I drove the light, and I thought, I can't believe that guy ran that light. And the more I thought about it, I thought, I'm not sure, maybe I ran the light. And I saw Johnny Sayer a couple days later. He said, hey, been running any red lights lately? And he said, you just ran right through that thing. I mean, I wasn't texting. I wasn't eating. I wasn't, you know, I was just looking around. Aren't you glad we have a God who can protect us? Especially if you drive like that, you know. It did not have a camera, no. I've not received any unwanted mail either, so that's good. Psalm 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Now listen, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. What a great truth. And this passage says, notice the word keep. Behold, he that keepeth Israel. Notice verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. That is the idea of being put in a fort with a garrison of soldiers around you to protect you. Some of you have guardian angels. I must have 4 or 5 on my car, I think. So, what a great truth to know that the God of heaven is watching over us to protect us and to keep us. What a great truth. I just finished reading the book of Job in my devotions. One of the great truths of the book of Job is that through all of that, who was in control? God was. Now, did it seem like it to Job? Did it seem to Job that God was righteous? Aren't you glad for the book of Job? Now, I've got to admit, I kind of struggle in the middle chapters. The middle 30 chapters, you know, when all these other guys are saying their things. But God comes to the end and he says, Job, can you control Leviathan or Behemoth? Why, by the way, Job, where were you when I put the stars in space? And what is he saying to Job? He's saying, Job, if you can't even understand the physical world, how do you expect to understand all the things in the spiritual world? Just remember, Job, I'm in control. What a great truth, folks. And look at this about our God, our keeper. Notice, he says in verse 3, he that keepeth thee will not what? Slumber. You ever been driving and you're tired? We used to drive back and forth to Bob Jones from Idaho. It's 2,400 miles. It took us 48 hours. That was the days of the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. And nobody wanted to drive. What's the worst time to stay awake? About 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. At least that's the way it is for me. Nobody wanted to drive then, you know. I said, look, I'll drive till 3. And somebody else could take over. I'm sleeping after that. Isn't that a terrible thing? You're going down the road, you know, and you wake up on the exit. Like, oh, whatever. How'd I get here, you know? We all need to sleep. Think about this. Our divine helper never sleeps. Never sleeps. There's nothing that ever happens in your life that God says, wow, I didn't see that coming. Well, that one slipped up on me. Doesn't happen. Our divine keeper, folks, he's always awake. He's always aware of what's going on, and he's there to help us. I read an illustration years ago about a ship, and this took place years ago, traveling from Liverpool to New York. And the captain of the ship had his family on the ship traveling to New York with him. In the middle of the night, a huge storm broke out. And the people were all panicking, oh, no, what's going to happen? And his 8-year-old daughter woke up and her, you know, of course, knew about the storm. She could feel the storm. And she said, who's steering the ship? And they said, well, your dad. And she said, well, that's okay. Then I can go to sleep. Dad's on watch. It's okay. Listen to this. Fear not the windy tempest wild. Thy boat they shall not wreck. Lie down and sleep, a helpless child. Thy father's on the deck. Isn't that a great truth? One of the greatest truths about God that is such an encouragement to my heart is that God is still on the throne. God is on the throne. Doesn't matter what comes in our life. God is on the throne. I was talking to my brother, and I can't remember, he came through, and maybe I was talking to him quickly. And one of the things my dad has struggled with is, did we take mom to the wrong hospital? Should we have taken her to Cleveland or Columbus or somewhere? And should we have tried to get a different doctor? Should we have done this or done that? And my brother's comment was, we should never look at secondary causes. Does that make sense to you? God was still on the throne. God still had a reason. God has a reason. God knows all things. He's a God who can provide, protect. Finally, he's able to preserve us. Look at verse 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Notice he says he preserves us here in this world, in this earth, from the wicked. Boy, are the wicked attacking or what? Yesterday morning in prayer meeting, Preacher Lashley reminded us of the Supreme Court ruling that's supposed to come down on homosexual marriage. And the attack on the religious right. It's very real. By the way, in case you're wondering, it's going to get worse. Till the Lord comes and straightens it all out. There's definitely attacks going on. But then you've got the attacks of the wicked one. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil's roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. The attacks are going on all the time. But he says, look, I want to remind you that God can preserve you from all evil. God is able. Have you ever just been overwhelmed by temptation? Stop for a moment. Again, we're doing a lot of introspection today, which is very dangerous. I've had you think about your problems. Now I want you to think about the problems in your life where the devil defeats you. We all have areas where we're kind of sitting ducks. It may be discouragement. It may be this thing right here, your tongue. Could be a lot of different things. Have you ever been in a point in your life where you said, I just can't have victory? I mean, the devil's got my number. He knows right where I live. And no matter what, I just can't have victory. Well, I want to remind you that the devil's already lost the battle. Do you realize that? He's already been defeated. He's already been destroyed, which means to be made of none effect. He is chained. He is limited. The God of heaven is controlling, limiting what Satan can do in your life. And you know 1 Corinthians 10, 31, don't you? Or 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Now listen, what does it say? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. What does that mean? It means that God knows exactly, Tony, how much you can handle. Exactly how much. He can say in this area of temptation that Tony struggles with, I know Tony can take this much. Now I'm going to let the devil go this far. I'm not going to let him go this far. Which means every time we're tempted, through the Holy Spirit's power, we have the ability to say no. We have the ability to have victory. Because God is limiting what the devil can do in your life. So in this world, now notice the wording here. And it says, the Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in from this time forth. And notice, and even forevermore. Aren't you glad that the Bible teaches eternal security? Now, there are a lot of people that don't teach that, but that's what the Bible teaches. I tell you, folks, it's a wonderful truth. I'm going to turn to 1 Peter real quickly here. In chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, and read a couple verses. It says, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. How many of you ever had a reservation and you show up and they say, we don't have a reservation for you. What are you talking about? You know, we don't have a car for you. You're walking. You know, we don't have a motel room for you. Whatever. Aren't you glad, folks, when you made your reservation for heaven, it's settled, it's done, it's there. When you die, you're not going to stand before the Lord and the Lord say, let's see, Stover. We had a reservation for you back in, when were you saved? Back in whenever, 1920, no, I'm kidding, 1963. But, you know, it seems like it was erased in 1975. Don't have one anymore, sorry. Not going to happen. Now, here's the exciting thing about this verse. He goes on to say, it's reserved in heaven for you who are kept. How? Who are kept? How are you kept? Who's keeping you? Now, if you believe you can lose your salvation, who do you think is keeping you? Yourself. Right? He says, who are kept by the power of God. Many of you have small children or you've had small children, and when you're going somewhere and it's dangerous and you don't want the kid to run off in the road or you know, jump over the edge or do something, you say, Johnny, hold my hand. But really, what are you saying? What are you actually doing? You're holding his hand. Now, why is that important? If Johnny's holding your hand and he's only 4, his strength is very limited. And by the way, he may let go. If he sees something he wants to see, he will let go, okay? But if you're holding his hand, hallelujah, he's not getting loose. And you feel him squirming and trying to get away, he's either going to lose an arm, but you're holding on to that hand. It's just not going to happen. Aren't you glad, folks, when it comes to your salvation and your turn to heaven, that God is doing the holding? God is doing the holding, not us. Our God has the power to keep us for all eternity. Now, I want to go back to Psalm 121 and remind you today, no matter what the need is, no matter what the need is, our help cometh from the Lord. our help. Look, I can start with my cupboard and go to Mark. Did I say Mark? I said Mike. Mark. Mike and Mark. And Mickey. We got all kinds of. And I can say, Mike, I don't know what you're going through in your life. Now, look, if I couldn't say this, I would get out of the ministry. I really would. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to Mike come to me and say, well, Gary, I've got this terrible problem, and I just got this diagnosis, or I got this family problem, or whatever. And I'd say, well, wish I could help you, buddy, but good luck. Wouldn't that be terrible? It doesn't matter who comes to me and what problem they have. I can say, there's help in the Lord. Jehovah God is able to help you with your need. The Lord is our helper. The Lord, Jehovah, the creator, the sustainer, the God who can do anything and everything. He is our helper. I want to close by reading a great old hymn. And it says, a mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortals ill prevailing, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. That's true, isn't it? Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Who is this right man who's on our side? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must or he will win the battle. And though the world with devils filled shall threaten to undo us, we will not fear. For God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The spirit and the gift are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. If you stay for church this morning, Jim and I are, I'm going to tell you what we're going to play in case you can't recognize it. And after saying that, Jim, I just forgot what it is. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. Why? Why? God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know where we'll be tomorrow. But I think from time to time, we just need to stop and remember that our helper is the Almighty, all-sufficient, all-powerful, all-knowing God, who created and controls the universe. He is your helper. And he wants to help you. And he's waiting to help you. And if you will come to him, there's help in Jehovah God. Lord, we thank you for this great passage of Scripture. We thank you that you're our helper. Lord, help us as believers to encourage our hearts in the Lord, in who the Lord is. Help us to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.